Are you an insider? Subscribe to FC Insiders today to receive full unedited interviews, news, rumors, exclusive content, and more. Join FC Insiders at futurecommerce.fm.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex is the leader of tax technology solutions and services for corporations worldwide. They're trusted by over half of the Fortune 500. Vertex Cloud meets sales and use tax solutions for businesses of all kinds. Visit them online today at vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is faster, smarter, and better email marketing automation. DotMailer is trusted by thousands of leading brands around the world. You can start your free trial today at dotmailer.com/futurecommerce and be sure to use the offer code futurecommerce for 20% off applicable DotMailer packages.
Welcome to Future Commerce, the podcast about cutting edge and next generation commerce. I'm Brian.
And I'm Philip.
And today we are talking about probably one of the most exciting things happening in retail today. Amazon Go.
Amazon Go. We've promised it and now we're delivering.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. And yeah, we talked about Amazon Go when it was first released. I think we were pretty stoked about it then. It was a...
And to be honest, we were kind of green. We were 21 episodes in. We were mere babes.
Now we're 61 episodes in. This is episode 61.
Yeah, and it's actually almost, it's a little over a year ago. So this was on, I think, January 21st or so, 2017, which we wove in a bunch of predictions and stuff. And like, actually, we have a clip of it. Listen to how excited we are about Amazon Go when we were talking about it at the time.
So a little preview to that. Amazon Go is the future.
Amazon Go is the future. What's crazy is it's the future right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's the future in the way that Starbucks thinks that voice ordering is the future. I don't know. I love the fact that Amazon is doing this. If anybody can do this, it's Amazon. For those who don't know, this is a basically a grocery store where there's a concept that's already up and running in Seattle, I think,
I don't think it's right? In Seattle, actually. Actually, I think it is Portland. In Seattle. No, it's in Seattle.
I think it's in Seattle.
Yeah.
So it's up and running. It's sort of this open beta. You can, if you have, as long as you have the Amazon Go app, you can walk right into the store and you can pick up any item that you pick up off a shelf through some means of product tagging and through image recognition and some software that they have running on cameras in the store. They sort of add it to your virtual cart. You walk out with the items in your bag or in a basket and done. It just charges it to your Amazon Prime account, which is like exactly.
Yeah. And that, you know, with the exception of it not being in Portland, was 100% still correct a year later.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah, it was exactly what they advertised it to be.
And guess what? We went there.
Then we went and there.
This whole episode is just us talking about it. So, all right. So, Brian, give some context here. Like, tell me, sort of, just at a glimpse, so you don't have to wait for the whole episode. What did you think of the Amazon Go experience?
It was good. It was easy. It was exactly what it was advertised to be. You scan your app, you walk in, you pick up stuff, and you leave. And that's how easy it was.
Yeah, it really was. And we it's funny because we met up in the morning. We got there anticipating, you know, a line of some kind. In fact, they even had like a bunch of stanchions set up like for a queue. But there was none of that. We got there right as it opened, right at about 7 o'clock. Right.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of retail tourism that happened up front.
Sure.
Where people went there for the novelty of it to check it out. It was so practical, though, and, you know, and so easy. I can't imagine that there will be a line now that sort of the shine has worn off, because you just walk in and you walk out. Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's that fast. I think people were probably enamored with the concept, you know, trying to trick the cameras and all of that. There was a lot of that going on. And that's not something we attempted, really. We just, I did pick up some stuff and put it back, which was
Sure.
Pretty cool to see how that worked. Just put it right back in and it didn't charge you for it. But, you know, I think from here on out, there won't need be a need for a line because it's just people are going to realize, oh, I can actually use this as a thing. And it just, it's just easy.
Yeah. And we both downloaded the app en route to the store, right? So we took a Lyft early in the morning and we got there right at about the time that it opened. It's conveniently located right next to the new sort of globe dome structure that is, I think, also an Amazon office or something, right?
Yeah. It's like a rainforest office.
Right. Which is exactly. And the first thing that I noticed is, well, there was no line out the door, but they did have two people standing out front, sort of welcoming folks in and kind of explaining it to those who haven't, you know, haven't been part of the store. And despite a bunch of signage, they had two, you know, actual human beings stationed outside. And we engaged with them briefly. And here's that exchange.
We are podcasters and we talk about retail. And we've been kind of hyping this for 6 weeks. I'm from Florida, so this is like a big trip for me. This is the whole reason I'm here, just so you know. And I have my mic. I don't know if it's like okay or not for us to kind of just talk what we're doing while we're in there. Is that a...
Actually, here is a PR card.
Of course.
Direct all of your questions.
So basically, direct all of your conversations and questions to Amazon PR. And even though I very explicitly asked if I could record while we were in the store, we were basically directed to Amazon PR for any questions of the sort. So
it's probably fine. Like we probably could take our mics in there, but we just want to be on the safe side.
And to be fair, we did take our microphone in there but most of the recording that we got was actually really just sort of kind of lame us talking about what's on the shelves. I thought we'd talk more about the experience and sort of the, our noticing the technical sort of the setup of the way that it is laid out and some of the things that we sort of noticed that were a little bit out of the ordinary for a normal, you know, store. So the first thing for me, I didn't give my hot take. I love this. There were people that walked in and out, you know, I don't know, two dozen people kind of made in and out, in and out, in and out real quick in our time in the store. And I think it actually tells you on the app when you check out, when you actually leave, it tells you how long you spent in the store. So I believe, actually I get the exact time here, but I think we spent well over 15 minutes in the store just kind of browsing around.
Yeah, totally. We did. I think it was 20.
It was actually, no. It says the last trip time, it tells you right in the app, last trip time was 12 minutes and 12 seconds.
Oh, wow. We were fast.
Yeah, a lot faster than I thought we were. But it is basically a convenience store, right?
Yeah, it's not huge. It's small.
No.
Albeit there were some really cool things inside of there, like compared to other convenience stores that I've been in, this was like a Whole Foods convenience store, basically.
Yeah, this would, and speaking of which, like there was some definite product cross-pollinization, yep. Right? The 365 brand was on display, which is, you know, Whole Foods. Actually, they're one and the same. That is not a misspeak anymore. It's a Whole Foods, you know, sort of mainstay brand. That's their house brand for a bunch of things like,
yeah,
you know,
and fresh it was goods. Even like the way the food was packaged and the way that food was displayed and everything, it felt like Whole Foods.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, definitely. And it was what you got was a really wide selection of a lot of different types of things with unique selections in between. So the first when you first walk in, there are two sort of, you know, plexiglass or plastic doors in each lane that are, you know, sort of barring you from entry. If you've ever gone through an airport, you know, an international airport, you know, outside of the United States or in Europe, you'll have seen these sort of like, you know, doors that require you to swipe your Amazon Go barcode app over top to recognize who you are when you walk in the store. And when you walk in, those two doors swing open. When you walk in, you're looking right at a whole bank of cold cases that wrap around sort of three-quarter view from your left to your right. So on the left, you sort of have, you know, drinks, sodas, waters, that sort
chocolate.
Of thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh yeah, there's some chocolate right there that's, you know, not necessarily in cold storage, but it's, you know, it's right next to it. And then right in front of you is sort of a selection of like a mix of, you know, breakfast foods or like sandwiches. Breakfast sandwiches, all kinds of sandwiches. And then over right to the right, which kind of kicks out a little bit, is
bagels.
Yeah, bagels, some fresh package. Oh yeah, that was wonderful. This is they hyped that pretty big. The cream cheese was free. Thank you so much, Amazon. and then on that same wall, you know, nuts and a package, like prepackaged snacks, that sort of thing. But in that one little space, there is 2 to 3 times more food and choices of the same types of food packed in than you would see in a standard convenience store.
I agree. Yeah, because it's a lot taller, I think, than a lot of the shelves and such are mm-hmm. other convenience stores. Also, maybe we're just tired of everything that's convenience stores and we just skip over almost everything that we see because it's just like, ugh. Why would I ever buy that?
For sure.
And so everything in this store kind of looked appealing to me. Like mm-hmm. most of it was like, oh, yeah, like I kind of want to get that.
For sure. Oh, and like really high-end choices. So you have really nice selection of, you know, bar chocolates. And you have really like almost niche sort of sodas and like artisanal sort of sodas and craft sodas and waters and that sort of thing.
Along with like Coca-Cola products too.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah, that was interesting. Like there were like what I would consider sort of more generic like or standard offerings available in the store, you know, things that most of America would expect to see in a store, in a convenience store.
Sure.
But it was just instead of like mixing it in with sort of like other down market generic products, they mixed it in with like more up market products for a convenience store at least.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So one of the things I noticed was as the products are organized on the shelves, every product sits in a very clearly defined sort of lane.
Which made the store feel very organized.
And clean.
Yeah.
Right?
Like super very clean.
Yeah. So it's like every little product has its own little space. You rarely see the same product 2 up next to each other on a shelf, right? It's usually like most of the products are one particular like style or like one bar of chocolate and there's many of those types of flavors to choose from, but it usually is just like one bar of chocolate in its own lane. And there are plastic dividers on either side to kind of keep it from, you know, moving around. Like it's going to stay right there where it's supposed to. And that makes sense.
Yeah.
If they're tracking all these things with cameras, right? Yeah,
and there were all kinds of sensors everywhere. Like you could see them if you looked up, you could see them behind things. You could, you know, it was clear that, you know, everything was being monitored and they weren't trying to hide it. They didn't try to make it look like it wasn't there.
Yeah. One thing that I thought was really interesting, and this is pure speculation. I don't know anything about the tech really that goes into this, but
does anyone?
In the ceiling, no, I don't know that anybody really does. So in the ceiling, the cameras, like the camera arrays are there. Like you said, they're visible. They're not obtrusive, right? But they're there. But they look much more like consumer level technology than it could just be Amazon spit and polish on it, right? But they looked very much like very, very similar to a like almost like an Xbox Kinect, right?
Yeah.
It looked a lot like that.
Yeah, instead of like being sort of commercial industrial, it looked a lot more consumer friendly.
For sure.
I mean, that's not too surprising, I think. It's not hard to add a little shine to stuff these days. So I think that was a nice touch.
Yeah. And what looked like, so behind the products, this was kind of impressive. Behind the products on sort of the back of the shelf, on the back wall of the shelf, it looked like every foot or so was like a little sensor that was poking out. And I couldn't tell. It actually looked like it had like a little foam windscreen. It looked like it might be a microphone. Like, I don't know if that's totally the case. It could just be some sort of like proximity sensor or some, like, I don't know what that is, but it definitely was there and obvious, right? Like,
yeah.
So very, very interesting. And it was discreet. There was no wires hanging around. Like it was definitely, it felt like everything was done really, really, you know, well. And what else would we expect, right?
Right.
I mean, okay. So Sorry.
No, I was going to say, this feels like an Amazon-type implementation of something.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'm really impressed with that. We did wind up purchasing some stuff. So what did you wind up buying? I forget. It was breakfast time.
Yeah, breakfast
so
sandwich. Breakfast. I got a breakfast sandwich. It was good. I mean, it was.
Do you remember what it was exactly?
Yeah, it was like I think it was a local bakery. Actually, it was Alki Bakery that made the sandwich. It was like an egg white sandwich, and it had some like fresh bell pepper on it.
And, oh yeah, that's right. Oh, that looked good.
Yeah, it was really good. For you know, a convenience breakfast sandwich, it was really good. I like having fresh made stuff for convenience food. And I think that, again, this gets back to what we were talking about. It, you know, the stuff that was in there, there were some good choices. And again, this isn't like gourmet chef stuff, but it was a higher end. It was, you know, stuff that you'd probably want to eat for breakfast.
And I had the same experience with my breakfast sandwich, which I also microwaved. I will say, you know what? We actually misspoke. The cream cheese wasn't the only free thing. They also had Cholula and Sriracha in packages for free, which, by the way, first time I've ever seen Cholula in a package.
I know. That was awesome. Which, you stole like five, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I took like seven or eight of them. They didn't charge me for them, so I got...
like a truly like convenience store experience. There were microwaves there. There was a little sit. Like there were little areas for packets of ketchup and mustard and Cholula and Sriracha.
Right. Yeah. No, they totally expect like you are definitely going to microwave a sandwich here. You know what they are missing though is the little hot dogs on the like spinning Hot Wheels. The little rod. They're missing that they don't have.
Yeah. Again,
probably like, because you can't put like a barcode on that spinning hot dog. You know.
Yeah. Like, well, that in like you know, if they did that, it would have to be like Polish, you know, like some sort of like chorizo, something or other.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? Actually, speaking of which, something noticeably absent from the store, which was actually a little bit troubling. Either that or we just missed it all outright. Like, there was no hot coffee in that store.
Oh yeah, we mentioned we were talking amongst ourselves like, yeah, there is no hot coffee in the store, like nowhere, like
either we missed it or it wasn't there. Like,
was certainly not something you could dispense, right? Like there wasn't like a cistern of coffee that we could dispense into a cup, which is something I would expect that you would want from, you know, a convenience store. But I guess you could grab a bottle of cold brew if you really wanted it. Which, you know, I don't know. Yeah, so that's interesting. So there are things that look like sort of noticeably absent, but what it makes up for it is in some really interesting things that are kind of out of the norm for a convenience store, which is take home meal kits.
Yeah, that like was on the blue, really on the blue cool. apron
type variety, like, but they're the Amazon Fresh brand, right? So that was really, really cool. It looked like there was an operational kitchen that was maybe preparing or prepping those types of things that was visible from the street with many people working in it. That looked like it was part of the same concept. Like it looked like it's, you know, adjoining.
Yeah. I don't know if that was just for that Amazon Go or if they
were preparing. It could be part of Amazon. Yeah. Right. I don't know. I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah. They could have been, it seemed like overkill for just that store. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they get some for people through there. They need that. Yeah, that was interesting. The other thing that was interesting is that there was a selection of things that were more grocery store-esque there. You mentioned meal kits. There was also like pre-chopped fajita veggies and chopped mushrooms.
That was interesting.
There was pancake mix and breakfast cereal and, you know, a whole bunch of other things that, you know, you might want, you know, like, oh, I need to pick up something for breakfast in the morning. Okay, I'll just grab this on my way home. Type stuff, or you know, I need to grab something for dinner and I want to cook it, you know.
Sure.
There were things you could do that you could take with you that would be great for dinner.
Yeah. So that was interesting. And beyond that, really, I mean, there were definitely a lot of people that were, you know, working and active in the store. They were, you know, fronting up shelves. They were, you know, we had the two folks outside who sort of helped, you know, give context to the store. They gave us a free, you know, orange tote bag. That was nice of them. You know what I thought was really interesting. So on the products that are sort of the consumer packaged products that, you know, are the shelf stable variety, right? So those are the like cans of Coca-Cola and such. They are just the products that you would find in a store. They're normal, right? Like there's right. nothing additional that's going on with them. There's no sticker on it. But for the products that are of like the local variety, like some of the bakery items that you said, like were from local bakeries. Like what else do we see? What was the local bakery that we passed that had some products in there?
I don't remember.
Not Altira or something to that effect.
I don't remember.
I don't know. So like a local Seattle bakery who had some items in there, and they were all individually wrapped products, but it looked like they were like sort of fresh products. They're not, you know, shelf stable for long periods of time. Those sort of like soft, you know, cellophane type or like soft plastic wrapper type products, those all had very interesting QR-esque type codes, like multiple sides.
Yeah, I wonder if it was for the store or if like those companies distribute these things to other places throughout Seattle. And so they have to have those on there for general distribution. You know what I mean?
I mean, potentially, but it was also on the bottom of the coffee mug that I bought as a souvenir that says, just walk out shopping or just like, so I don't know, maybe it's for in-store tracking. I assume because of the size of it, that it's not just for like a handheld scanner. It looked like it's, you know, it's a very large sticker, you know, potentially so that it could recognize the type of item that it is.
Could be.
But it's not just like, I guess the thing that I'm driving out is not just based on the, you know, recognition of the package or the label. It looks like, you know, certain products have some additional TLC that they have to apply to it to make it sort of work.
Future Commerce is brought to you by Vertex. Vertex provides cloud and on-premise solutions that can be tailored to specific industries. For every major line of tax, including sales and use, income, value added, and payroll, Vertex Cloud is the SaaS solution that automates sales and use tax, including calculation and returns. With multiple service levels and flexible pricing models, Vertex Cloud meets the sales and use tax needs for businesses of all sizes. From recognizable brands like Honda, Pepsi, Verizon, and small businesses the world over. Find out more today at vertexsmb.com and be sure to mention Future Commerce Podcast to get 15 months for the price of 12. Once again, that's vertexsmb.com. Future Commerce is brought to you by DotMailer. DotMailer is used by thousands of marketers around the world. It has quick and easy campaign creation with a world-class intuitive interface. The DotMailer team is always on hand from email creation, creative, and delivery to dedicated consultancy helping you build your own success story. DotMailer is built to play well with others. You can build your own marketing cloud by extending DotMailer or integrating it with your existing e-commerce and business platforms. Become a smarter, faster, better marketer and create sophisticated and measurable campaigns with DotMailer. Go to dotmailer.com/futurecommerce to start your free trial today and be sure to use the offer code FUTURECOMMERCE for 20% off DotMailer packages. Thanks again to DotMailer for supporting Future Commerce.
Here's a thought that I had while we were there. And I think while we were there, we saw the two greeters out front. We saw a couple of people sort of stocking and moving things around. We saw the prep kitchen on the way in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is the minimum staff that would be required to run a place like this? That is an interesting question to me, because I can tell you right now,
It's more than a normal convenience store.
Yeah. So you've eliminated checkout. Great. How, you know, that's great for convenience. As far as operational costs go, I didn't feel like it was very efficient. Now, of course, this is their flagship store. You know, they're going to have more people. They're greeting people. They're going to make sure everything's perfect all the time, right? So they're going to staff up just because it's the flagship, right? Or their right. It's their initial location. But I'm really curious, and I, you know, what I'd love to see Amazon come out with it are some numbers around what it would take to staff a store like this if it wasn't the flagship store. Like, what kind of operational costs are we looking at to keep one of these things going?
Well, my hope is that we sort of see a Moore's Law that comes along with this type of retail tech innovation, right? So every 5 years, not only does the technology get, you know, miniaturized, but the, you know, sort of we see some broad adoption and competing technologies that help, you know, drive market innovation in this space. And if you go back, we just launched it. We had 4 interviews that we did on Future Commerce Insiders. And so you'll have to go and subscribe to the email. Go to futurecommerce.fm, sign up for the FC Insiders email list. And when you get the welcome email, there will be a link there for episode 3 of FC Insiders exclusive. And that
Don't
third
miss
interview
this,
had,
by the way.
This, yeah, it's so good. So there's 4 interviews in there. And one in particular, it was a company called Focal Systems, who are already doing this in much larger stores than the 1800 square foot Amazon Go store. Now they're doing it with, you know, a little more than just, you know, machine vision, and it's very much tied to a shopping cart. Like, you have to be throwing items into a shopping cart, and it takes a little while to figure out that you threw the coffee filters into the cart. It's definitely beta level technology, but there are others in the space that are working on it. It's not just Amazon. And I think we'll see a lot more innovation from a lot of other players, and we'll see who, you know, I think Amazon is already out on top, you know, as far as the transparency of the technology, definitely the media hype. But I think this might be coming to more than just Amazon Go, you know, stores as a concept in the future. I mean, you could see this at Wawa and Cumberland Farms too.
Right.
I can see that being in a very near future, and it doesn't have to be so far off. So very, very cool.
Yeah. I mean, so here's the other thing. And, you know, Amazon Go is the first, like, it's really like visible version of this, right? Mm-hmm. In the US, right? Because in China, this has been happening for quite some time, or at least I shouldn't say it's been happening for some time. It's ahead of where we're at.
Right.
So there's companies like Bingo Box and others that are a lot further along. I mean, I think Bingo Box has over 200 shops and was launched in 2016, 29 different cities. And, you know, I don't think it's quite as smooth as Amazon Go, or, you know, it's obviously it's catered for a different market, but there's a lot of movement in China around this as well. I think Tencent is focused on this, and there's a bunch of other stores out there that and big companies that are focused on introducing these concepts in China. So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot more of this a lot more quickly than we think, because it's the technology is there. It's just a matter of getting people to actually buy in and implement. That's another question I have is, you know, is Amazon going to make this technology available for other retailers? That's a really big question. And I don't see why they wouldn't. As long as they're a certain kind of retailer, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're not going to make this available to Walmart, obviously, or other sort of pseudo competitors.
Right.
But for like, even like, you know, brands focused retailing in malls and stuff, I could see this coming into play.
Yeah, sure. At some point, though, it has to be, you know, you have to sort of get on board with the Amazon ecosystem. So Amazon already had my payment method on file, right? I didn't have to set that up because I'm using my Amazon account, right? And like, there's a lot of convenience of downloading, you know, a 10 meg application from, you know, the Google Play or iTunes store or whatever. Like you, there's a lot of convenience you have of already being in the Amazon ecosystem, which you would probably not have if you're just trying to shop at the, you know, the Lucky Brand jeans and get your Machine Vision jeans on your way out the door. Like I just don't see, I don't see how a, you know, a branded retailer stands to benefit in the same way that Amazon does, because they have a whole ecosystem that kind of goes along with sure. it. But we are, I am bullish on the technology in the same way you are. I see it. I don't know that, I think we'll know it when we see it, right? Like I couldn't tell you how this is going to work for, you know, a retail clothing chain, but you know, this definitely, the convenience store makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah,
potentially totally. With like, you know, consumer electronic goods too, right? Like if I could have this experience in Best Buy, this might be, you know, a really great experience.
Probably
for me.
Not going to happen at Best Buy.
Definitely not going to happen at Best Buy.
At least with the Amazon technology.
Sure. You know, what's funny is, as a side note, and we're not really going to touch on news here, but the kinds of things that you would, the kinds of things you would buy in this manner at like a Best Buy are slowly being phased out, right? Like, so Best Buy just announced they're no longer carrying, you know, CDs or physical media for music. And that's being phased out of all their stores. And I think that that's really sad. Like the kinds of things that made me want to go to Best Buy beyond just the large purchase of a television every 5 years, they're giving me less and less reasons to want to shop there. So
you may have just become the most crotchety you've ever become on this show.
Probably. Yeah. my age is starting to show.
Yeah. That was definitely a show of age right there.
I mean, how do you go and just buy like a Chromecast every single week at Best Buy? Is that just how you live your life?
No, I don't go to Best Buy, man.
Where do you get that stuff? Amazon. Well, you're not getting a Chromecast at Amazon.
Not a Chromecast. You know. Okay. To be fair, I shop at Amazon and I shop at Costco. Like, what else is there?
After 61 episodes of this show, I could not have told that. I'm being sarcastic. That's all I've ever heard you talk about is Amazon and Costco.
Yeah, pretty
Amazon
much.
And Costco. Okay. So quick take. So the food was good. The experience was good. You know, we're excited about the technology. I probably wouldn't go back, just to be honest with you, unless I was like right there for some reason. It's not a destination.
It's not a destination. Like, definitely not. Right. I agree with that. There's no reason to go out of your way to have more convenience.
Yeah. I mean, like show title. Yeah, that's exactly the case. And to be honest with you, we spent way more time in there than you would in a normal store. But I think that's kind of the point of this, you know, first experience.
That's
with the store.
That's why there were lines at the store. Like there won't be
now. Get
lines
some hot
there.
Coffee, guys. Yeah. Like seriously,
hot
like,
coffee, that's, please.
How hard is that?
Before we leave this episode, because you mentioned the Amazon ecosystem, Amazon made a huge announcement this week.
Mm.
Huge.
And I have no idea what you're about to talk about. What's their big announcement?
Shipping with Amazon.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, just that.
I remember.
Yeah.
That's all.
That is, so SWA is maybe even a bigger, I mean, from like a shake up the market perspective, probably a bigger announcement than Amazon Go.
From a long-term strategic and probably value perspective, absolutely, and they will do probably for logistics what they've done for web hosting and cloud, you know, virtualization that they've done with AWS. I fully believe that this could be the biggest part of their entire business in 5 years.
It could be,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think they're gonna have to be careful with this one because this is, you know, this is the area where like you've got UPS and FedEx out there, you can't put them out of business. You cannot put them out of business because you need.
Well, yeah, you won't put them out of business, but you know they need your business. UPS and FedEx, you know, and their growth trajectory has tracked right along with Amazon over the last 20 years.
Right.
right? And they depend on Amazon every bit as much as Amazon depends on them. Amazon is in a unique position to be able to take an already existing network of, you know, local drivers and couriers and delivery infrastructure that they already do from distribution center to another distribution center and enable that workforce to do point-to-point delivery within a very small and limited geographic area. And this is a very small test to be sure, right?
Right.
But if anyone can, and we said this 40 episodes ago, if anyone can do it, it's Amazon.
Yep.
And they'll find a way to roll this out and begin to compete with, this is their MO. This is what they do.
Yep.
They partner and then they turn and compete. That's how it's always worked with Amazon. So yeah, I mean, RIP FedEx, that's how I sort of see this.
No, I'm right? saying Amazon can't put FedEx out of business.
I think that they can. Well, I think that they absolutely
okay.
can.
Okay.
It's so, in the long term.
Of course they can.
Hold on. If Xerox and Fuji are still around like 30 years later, like, okay, like FedEx will always be here. If FedEx and UPS will be the cockroaches of logistics. Like they're never gonna die.
That's
off.
The show title. they will just talked about Amazon Go for 30 minutes and that is the show title.
I just see it. I see like there are certain types of like corporate entities that will never, ever, ever die. I mean, Radio yeah. Shack still exists to some degree. Like somehow some of these things just continue to survive. Like every single day, Sears lays off 200,000 more employees and closes 45 more stores. Like, how does that even happen? How are they still here? But they are. So, yes.
No, and what exist. I meant was, by the way, it's not that they can't put them out of business. They absolutely could eventually, right? But they really shouldn't, because that's going to put them in a tough position with.
It would show some ignorance on our part to suggest that would ever happen or that they would ever want to do that. They're valuable partners to each other, right? They enable each other.
They enable each other, and also to put Amazon in a position of being looked at as a monopoly. I mean, they own everything.
They already are.
Well, no, I don't. I wouldn't consider Amazon a monopoly. I've already said this on the show. Amazon is a new kind of business. It doesn't.
Right.
This is a different, it's not a monopoly. It's a different, and they have a lot of competition across all their different businesses, but it's just so expansive. But if they put FedEx and UPS out of business, which I think they have no intention of doing, by the way, I don't think they're going to attempt to put them out of business.
But that's not the point. I the point is not that they're going to, you know, anyone putting anyone else out of business. That's not what I thought you were saying. The point that I was trying to make is that this is the kind of thing that, you know, that I think gets, you know, an Amazon shareholder excited and a FedEx shareholder scared, right? Like that's,
of course.
That's what happens, right? And there are other people who are finally rising to actually challenge Amazon and its dominance. So, you know, Shipt was acquired, by Target, and there is already signage in my local Target saying, you know, 2-hour delivery through Shipt from my local Target in the middle of nowhere, you know, Palm Beach, Florida. We're nowhere. We're not a major market. We're not even a media market. I mean, I guess you could consider the Miami media market, but like we're not the first on the list to get those kinds of things. And it's already here. Right. And to say, and you're seeing the same thing, same kind of challenger and strategic challenging of Amazon online in its marketplace with Walmart. So it's going to get tougher for Amazon. They need to do things like this to compete. Now, they just announced, and this is tangential but related, they just announced Amazon Prime Now delivery through their Whole Foods stores for Prime members.
Right.
Right. And it's an obvious thing. We said it 30 episodes ago. That's definitely a thing that we all expected that they would do. But what I'm saying is that Amazon's not alone in this kind of, if you want to call it innovation or these kind of strategies. Others are starting to step up too. And so the FedExes and the UPSs of the world, you know, need not worry as far as I'm concerned.
That's what I think too. I agree with that. I mean, I think that it's not a worry. They just need to know there's another player in the game now. And there could be some shrinkage for UPS and FedEx. There probably will be some shrinkage for them, but it's not, you know, it's, I think it's, you know, it was naturally going to happen. This was always, this is almost a foregone conclusion. I think we talked about this at some point earlier in the show when Amazon started looking at potentially acquiring some planes and things like that.
Oh yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
So, this is a long time coming. I bet you that UPS and FedEx even knew when they were going to roll this out. I don't know that for sure, but I would speculate that that was communicated to them because they're such partners.
So back to Amazon Go. Any last words? Any thoughts on your experience? And I'm just trying to close out that thought because I want to make sure that people understand. Like, we liked it. Right? We liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, this is the future of shopping right here. We said it on episode 21 and we're saying it again on episode 61. Amazon Go is, this model is going to become pervasive at some point.
Yeah. And I think that they are taking a very sort of Apple-esque approach in that they're building retail experiences that are destinations now. I would have made fun of them 7 or 8 years ago to try to do something like this. So it's my understanding of what Amazon is changing and evolving. And I see them as an incredibly mature and innovative company. Whereas, I laughed at them when they came out with the Fire Phone a few years ago. Now I would actually kind of be excited if they came out with a phone. So I'm talking about this. I know.
I would be too. I would predict that they're going to come out with another phone. I mean, there's rumors about this ice phone. I don't know if that's a bunch of just absolute fake news, speculation, nonsense.
I've segued back into some other new topic. The point that I was trying to make is that I'm not surprised by anything they do anymore, and they do it well.
Yeah, let me speculate on that for one second before we close out the show. I wonder if Amazon will release a phone this year. It wouldn't be too surprising to me if they released another phone in August. And I wouldn't surprise me if it was like at a really low price point either. Why not just take a Fire, make it smaller and put some cell capability in it and boom, you've got a $50 smartphone with Alexa in it. I don't know if that's happening or not, but I don't know if that'll be their strategy. Maybe it won't be $50, maybe $100, but I see the Amazon strategy being reapplied to phones, in a way that the Fire Phone clearly wasn't. The Fire Phone was introduced to compete with flagship phones. I think Amazon's going to come in here and pull a Fire tablet miracle with phone.
Right. Yeah. Like lower end of the market mass sort of adoption, cheap price point. If they could figure out the prepaid carrier thing like Google's trying to do, that would also be an interesting play. Something I'd be, at least intrigued by. But I'm kind of a flagship phone guy, so I'm not likely to buy into it myself. But I do see it an interesting, that is an interesting strategy.
If they did,
it would fit in with their double down of Alexa, right? The discussion about them doubling down on Alexa that we talked about in episode 60. That conversation definitely it makes sense in that context.
Totally.
Okay.
All right. We've talked about enough besides Amazon Go now. I think that's the show.
That's it. That's really good. So really excited to have been there. We want to hear if you've been to Amazon Go. What was your experience? What did you buy? Would you go back? All that good stuff. And you can tell us about that at futurecommerce.fm or you can always email us, Brian with an I. Or Philip with two L's at futurecommerce.fm. Also make sure to like and subscribe. Hit us up on iTunes. Give us a 5-star. I always love to hear your feedback over there. And you can subscribe on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts or on any what we say smart speaker devices these days. It's the PC term because we have to get so many of them nowadays. So you can listen from any smart speaker with the phrase What is the phrase? I guess it would have to be play like, Future Commerce Podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that, assistant, play, you know, yeah. Whatever.
Totally unrehearsed. Assistants,
not to be named. Yes.
All right, we've bungled this ending after our Amazon fanboyism. I'm kind of actually exhausted. I would get some coffee, but they don't have any at the Amazon Go store. All right. And with that,
Do you want to do all of our outro stuff? All right, let's do it. Yeah, so thanks for listening to Future Commerce. We want you to give us feedback about today's show. So please leave us some feedback in the guest comment box below. If you're subscribed on iTunes, as always, please leave us a 5-star review. And Philip already said the part about playing the show. So we're done. Retail tech is moving fast.
Future Commerce is moving faster. Peace.